Hello, everybody. This is Cal Banyan from Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. on calbanyan.com. Just in case you somehow ran across this program, this recording, without knowing who I am an author, I'm a speaker, I'm a trainer, award-winning presenter at the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention, and most of all, I am a dedicated hypnosis professional, and I just want to sit down with a cup of coffee and talk to you. This is who I think I'm talking to. I believe I'm talking to someone who is either doing age regression hypnosis now or is seriously looking at getting age regression hypnosis training. And I just want to give you a heads up, a boost up above the rest, because there's so many people out there that are just doing probably what is one of the most important, most powerful hypnosis techniques there is, inadequately. I've watched videos of some of the so-called masters in the profession, and I watched them make mistake after mistake after mistake. And so I'm putting this program together for the sake of the profession. Okay, so the name of this program is Top Mistakes That Wreck Their Age. Top mistakes hypnotists make that wreck their age regression sessions and how not to make them. Okay, so I'm hopefully going to teach you how to be better, to be a better age regression hypnosis professional by talking about what not to do. And of course, as I do that, I'm going to propose that you do some things that, you know, are a lot better than what you're not supposed to be doing. So let me first talk about why we must learn and master age regression in our profession. This is why. Your clients deserve your best. I mean, these people that come to see us, they are so frustrated. They've tried everything, and everything has failed. In their minds, if this doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so these people, our clients, need to get the very, very, very best hypnosis sessions available. And I believe you should use a whole system of hypnosis, and that system of hypnosis should include excellent age regression. That's why I created the five-path system in the first place. All right, so why do age regression? Excuse me if once in a while you hear me slurp on the coffee. I'm just sitting down here with a clipboard and a bulleted list of things I want to cover, and once in a while I'll slurp away on my coffee. All right. Every condition, problem, fear, anxiety, whatever it is, starts somewhere. And if you're not doing excellent age regression, you're not going to have an effect on that starting point. And that starting point is logged right there in the human psyche, in the subconscious mind. And if you don't get to that and have a profound transformational effect on that moment, then it can work like a seed that just grows back the problem. Okay? So every condition starts somewhere. If you don't deal with that seed that's planted in the mind, then what's going to happen is it can just come back, and sometimes come back more resistant than ever. Also, when we do age regression and we go after that earliest time, that earliest link in the chain of the problem, you see, we're dealing with it at its weakest link, when it is its weakest. Let's say a problem started when they were 5 years old, and the client says, oh, I think it all started when I was 10 years old. And you, like many talk therapists, focus on that event when they're 10 years old. The problem is, there's many problems with that, but one of them is that even if you resolve that event at 10 years old, the event that started the problem, the fear or the sadness or the guilt or the anger or the loneliness or whatever it is, will come back because it was not snuffed out at the very beginning. You guys who take my classes, I often will draw a diagram on the board, and I'll say, the problem is like a weed in your yard. You know, you have this beautiful yard with grass and shrubs, and this dandelion starts coming up in the middle of your yard. You could just mow that sucker down, or any other kind of weed, just mow it down. But you know, and I know, that does not take care of the problem. It's going to come back. You have to get to the root of the problem. And these emotions and thoughts and feelings that are lodged into the subconscious mind are the roots of the problem. And the only way you're going to be able to take care of the problem permanently and effectively is to what? Go after the root of the problem. So as we do this, we're going to be finding the misperceptions, the misunderstandings of the child that led to the problem. We're going to find out the ISC, the initial sensitizing event, where it all started. And we're going to visit to some, if not all, of the subsequent events, the events that happened afterwards, and deal with them. And each one of those events is an opportunity for transformation so that we can rewrite those misperceptions, rewrite those misunderstandings, and transform the painful emotional baggage that's being generated by those events. And here is another really, really important reason. Only five pathers really are aware of this. This is the deal. When you do insight work like age regression properly, it creates what I've called hyper-suggestibility. Now, this is more than just the enhanced suggestibility that occurs with hypnosis. What happens is, when we do age regression right, it becomes an insight process so that they can then know inside of them, at the 10-year-old level, the 5-year-old level, the 2-year-old level, whatever it is, what they didn't know then. And what that does is it changes how they think about themselves and that event. It changes how they feel about themselves and those event and those involved in the event. And when that happens, you can then use what I call the segue to attach hypnotic suggestions to the insight. You see, here's what happens. When someone has an insight, be it now or earlier on, and the age regression, okay? What happens is it is seen by the subconscious mind as a knowing. Oh, now I know this, the subconscious mind responds with. Oh, now I know. Now I know that I was safe when I thought I before that I was in danger. Now I know my mother loves me when I didn't think she loved me. Now I know I am smart when before the situation made me feel dumb. So when this concept, this knowing comes in, what happens is the subconscious mind has to adapt to it. It has to integrate it into all the things that are in there with the other beliefs. Now what that does is it puts the mind into this state of hypersuggestibility. If you attach suggestions to that insight properly, they can last forever. Okay. Now, I want you to consider something. If you're not already a five path or someone who practices five path, I want you to consider right now mastering age regression and using it for everything. Because if you only use it sometimes on maybe the hardest cases, what happens is you don't do it enough to become really, really good at it. At the Banyan Hypnosis Center, all the hypnotherapists here use Five Path for everything. It doesn't matter if they come in for nail biting, or if they come in for substance abuse, or confidence, or improving their golf swing, or losing weight, or whatever it is. You see, passing exams, test anxiety, whatever it is, improving memory, whatever it is, we're going to use Five Path for everything. And age regression is the second phase of Five Path. And just in case you're not familiar with the term, Five Path stands for five-phased advanced transformational hypnosis. Okay, here's another reason why you just got to master age regression and to use it for everything. Yes, it's every condition starts somewhere. It's the weakest link. It's like a weed in the yard, that ISC, and we're going to remove the misperceptions in the child, which changes how they feel and how they think, and that creates hypersuggestibility, all those things. But here's another thing, is age regression sets you up to use other powerful techniques, such as age progression work, forgiveness work, and parts work. I see people sometimes teaching parts therapy or parts work and teaching to do it first, or that's all you do. The problem with doing things like that, parts work and forgiveness work first, is that you don't have the history of the problem as it is recorded in the subconscious mind. You're going in with only what the conscious mind of the client knows. And I'm going to tell you something. The conscious mind of the client doesn't know how to solve the problem. If they knew how to solve the problem, they wouldn't be in your office. So I'm urging you that if you're not already doing age regression, to make it a high priority that you get trained. If you're already doing age regression, I urge you to master it. Okay, here we go. I got a whole list of wrongdoings that I know that hypnotists do. Where do I get this list? I see comments and questions written on the internet and different hypnosis groups and networks. I have trained and supervised hypnotists who I watch their videos, or I watch other people's videos that come for me for me to consult or to coach them. This is what people do wrong. Okay. One of the main problems, one of the first main problems chronologically that hypnotists do is they do a poor pre-talk. And if they don't do an excellent pre-talk, then you're going to not get your clients reliably and consistently into a deep level of hypnosis. In order for you to do real age regression, not NLP's timeline therapy, okay, but real age regression requires that your clients consistently and deeply and reliably go into somnambulism. Okay. And if they don't go into somnambulism, if you are doing the proper thing in the hypnotic induction and deepening, okay, then they're not going to go into somnambulism. So you absolutely have to have a good pre-talk. At our center, I recorded a pre-talk. We're on the third version of it now, and I think we've really got it nailed down to an excellent pre-talk. It takes care of about 90 to 95% of the fears, misconceptions that the clients have that would prevent them from going into somnambulism. So you have to give an excellent pre-talk every time. I recommend that you videotape yourself, or you get my video, and that way you just have to do it right once. Then have your clients on their first session watch that video first. Okay, next. Poor pre-hypnosis interview. You need to know what you're working on and build trust. This is some of the things that has to be done. After they watch the video, they come in, they sit down at my desk, I ask if they have any questions about the video, I answer those questions about the video and about hypnosis, that ends the pre-talk. Then I'm going to say, good, in your own words, why are you here? How can I help you today? Okay, because I want to find out what they're working on. Sometimes what they're working on, what they really want to work on, is not what they thought they wanted to work on when you talked to them on the phone and made the appointment. Now, a properly done pre-hypnosis interview is going to get you the information you need to proceed, and you're going to build trust. Okay? Your clients need to trust you. If they don't trust you, they're not going to go into hypnosis. Now, here's something that I see hypnotists, even well-trained hypnotists, do wrong all the time. Here you go. Don't believe your client when it comes to what they think caused the problem. I mean, time and time again, I'll have someone come in and they'll say, oh, it all started back when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, whatever that date was for them, and with this event. And I'll tell you what, this is where quite often counselors and social workers and other helping professionals get messed up. They will talk and talk and talk about this event that the client is sure is the cause of the problem. And what we're going to find out with the hypnosis is that's almost never when it started. It almost always, I mean like 99 and 44 100% of the time plus, it started before that. So you nod and you smile and you say, oh, that's very interesting, and you write it down. And we might hypothesize at that time that that's probably the symptom-producing event. That's probably the event when they became aware of the problem. But the cause of the problem was planted before that. That's just like if you ask someone, when did that weed start growing in your yard? And they'll tell you, oh, it started, I saw it for the first time on May 15th, right? But really, you know, perhaps that seed has been there much, much longer than that. A seed could have been there 2 or 3 or 4 years before it ever took root. And even the day it took root, you know, may not be the beginning of the problem. It's the day that that seed was planted in your yard that that weed was going to be a problem. And, you know, it's not the day that it broke through. That's when the gardener or the homeowner becomes aware of the problem. But it began the day that seed was planted. And for us age regression hypnotists, that's called the ISC, the initial sensitizing event. So you really have to focus on knowing what they want in the pre-hypnosis interview, building trust. And just off the top of my head, there's a number of things that we do, but one of them is what we call unconditional positive regard. And no matter what's happened, you don't judge them in a negative way. You empathize with them, and you don't counsel them. You just get the history of the problem and make sure you know what they want to work on. And then you've done the pre-talk, then you've done the pre-hypnosis interview. And here's another thing that hypnotists do. They get done with the pre-hypnosis interview and they go, well, I think I have everything we need. Let's go do hypnosis now. And the client may not be ready to do hypnosis now. You see, so that's another big problem. So what you need to do is you need to test for readiness of hypnosis. You can't just decide that you're ready. That's irrelevant. I mean, you're ready to do hypnosis the morning you walked in the door, right? I mean, you're a skilled, trained hypnotist. But your client has to come to a certain point. And so one of the things I like to do is I simply ask them, would you like to do hypnosis with me now? Not, are you ready to do hypnosis with me now? If you ask them, are you ready, you're asking them to make an assessment that they're not trained or able to make. Ask them if they would like to. And the only kind of answer you want to get right then is something that's like, you know, raring to go. They're just raring to go. It's like, yeah, let's go do it. You know, I thought we'd never get around to it. Oh, good, we get to do hypnosis today in the first session. I mean, there's got to be that really kind of let's go do it, let's get it done kind of attitude. If you sense anything else, any kind of hesitation at all, then you need to kind of lean back in your chair and go, you know, I've got the feeling that maybe I left something out. Can you think of anything else that I might need to cover or anything else you want to share? And then do that. Maybe there's still something they hadn't asked that needed to be covered in the pre-talk about a fear, a misperception about hypnosis. Okay? Or maybe they feel like they just need to tell you this one more part of their story before they believe you could really be ready to work with them. You get that done, and then you simply ask again. You go, okay, good. Now would you like to do hypnosis with me? Okay. All right. So that is so important. And then we're going to go to the chair, if you're not already in the hypnosis chair with your client or have your client in the hypnosis chair. You're going to have to use a modern, effective induction that gives you somnambulism every time. If you've done the pre-talk right, the pre-hypnosis interview right, don't use a progressive relaxation induction or some other kind of induction. It needs to be something, you know, that works. And there's two inductions that I use in the vast majority of my sessions. Okay, and that is the Elman-Banyan induction. And what I did is I was inspired by the Elman. There's some very, very good stuff in there, but there was a lot of stuff that could have been done better or needed to be modernized. So I completely turned it on its head, rewrote it in a way that is much more powerful than it's ever been. And I tell you what, I get love letters over this induction. And you can just, you could just Google, I mean, in case you listen to this 5 years from now and I've moved it off my website, just Google Elman Banyan induction. But right now, if you listen to it recently, just go to hypnosis.org and there's right there, it says, you know, learn to hypnotize with Cal Banyan. And I will get you a video and show you how to use that induction, and it will transform your hypnosis sessions. Because here's one of the cool things, okay, is it has a built-in deepener and test, covert test for somnambulism. The way we've got it set up is they go into this loop of self-deepening until they reach somnambulism, and then when they really reach somnambulism, they let you know. So that one and the eight-word induction. You can Google that. We also have a website, 8wordinduction.com. Go there, learn it. It will change everything. Okay. Here's another thing that, you know, hypnotists do that just drives me crazy. And that is they read an induction to them. Maybe they read a deepening script. And then they just proceed thinking, okay, that should do it. Well, darn, you know, it might have, but you're a professional. You need to make sure that they do it. So when you induce hypnosis, you need to test the depth of hypnosis. And the best way to do it is a covert test, a hidden test, so that the clients don't know they're being tested. Because if they did not reach that level of hypnosis, we don't want them to know that they failed the depth test for somnambulism. So you need to know how to use covert tests. And the covert test is built into the Elman-Banyan induction. Now, the other thing is once you've learned to test for hypnosis covertly, okay, then this is another thing that hypnotists do that just drives me crazy, and it's they don't use convincers properly. Okay, convincers is a depth test that is overt, meaning that your clients know that you're testing them. Okay, so there are two kinds of testing going on here: the covert or hidden induction. The depth test, which is in the induction, in the Elman-Banyan induction, okay, or any other covert test that you know of for the depth of hypnosis that you're going for, which is typically, if you're going to do age regression, it must be somnambulism. Now, why am I harping on this somnambulism? Because a true age regression is a hallucination. You see, and you're required to have, according to the Harry Aaron scale, slightly modified, is stage 4, 5, or 6. Okay, stage 4, 5, or 6. Because at stage 4, a person can hallucinate with their eyes closed. At stage 5, they can have positive hallucinations with their eyes open, and they can have, in stage 6, a negative hallucination with their eyes open. So what this means is, when someone goes back in a true age regression, they're not just remembering what's going on. To some degree, different levels of degree, depending on the event that they're visiting, depending on how old they were when they were visiting it, when they were in that event, depending on how emotionally powerful that event was, and the skills, abilities of your client, and also as we do it over and over again, they tend to get better at revivifying. Revivification means to relive. And that means they're not just remembering. They may smell the smells when they were in that earlier time in their life. They may taste the tastes. They may see the scenes. But they'll definitely know what they were thinking and hallucinate the same feelings. For example, if they were 5 years old and they had a tightness in their chest and they were afraid, then your adult client is going to re-experience, revivify that fear and that tightness in their chest. And you must have somnambulism for that stuff to occur. And that stuff must occur in order for you to do excellent age regression. So you want to have a really good pre-talk. You want to have a really good pre-hypnosis interview. You never want to believe what your clients say caused the problem. You need to test for readiness of hypnosis. They may not be ready even though you're ready. Use modern inductions like the Elman-Banyan induction. Use the 8-word induction or any other fast, effective induction that was designed and has been proven to reliably take clients into at least stage 4 hypnosis on a first session. Okay. You got to do depth testing covertly, and then you need to do overt testing, which is convincers. Now, specifically, the two that I like best are, first, I covertly, secretly test them for somnambulism. That's stage 4 or 5 or 6 hypnosis, deep hypnosis. Then I will give them a overt test for stage 1 or 2. Now, think about it. If they've just passed a test for stages 4, 5, or 6, what's the probability that they're going to pass a test for the lightest level of hypnosis, hypnoidal or light hypnosis, stage 2? See, it's 99% chance that they're going to do that. And so we always covertly test, and then when they've passed a test for deep hypnosis, then we give them a test for light hypnosis. And the purpose, why would you do that? You're thinking, why in the world would you give them a test for light hypnosis when you already know they're in deep hypnosis? Here's the deal. The test for light hypnosis or hypnoidal is not for you. It's for the client. It to convince them, to let them know that they are in hypnosis, that they've succeeded. Because one of the great complaints that's always been around until, you know, people start doing things right, is they go, I don't believe I was hypnotized. But if in that first session you give them eyelid catalepsy test and you lock their eyelids down and you truly do it right and have them challenge that eye lock and experience not being able to open their eyes, or you do arm catalepsy and you do it right and they truly try to lower their arm and they're not able to, they become convinced. And it is one of the best deepening techniques. It's also one of the best marketing techniques, because that individual is going to want to tell people about the experience. And when our clients come in, you know, they're frustrated and they're hopeless with regard to this problem because nothing else has worked. When we take them and we do this convincers, they're thinking now, I can do this. This hypnosis stuff works. Maybe I wasn't crazy for thinking about seeing the hypnotist. And so what happens with that is they become a hopeful, somnambulistic client. And that's the very, very best thing that you can have at that moment in the session. All right. Here's another thing that I see people do. Hypnotists regressing on the wrong issue. Regressing on the wrong issue. It's like you just talked to them. You found out why they're there, right? And for example, weight loss. I've seen people, hypnotists, do weight loss and regress on how good it feels to eat sweet things. That's not going to take you to the cause of the problem. There, instead, it's this feeling inside that they don't like, that they're countering, okay, distracting themselves from by excess eating. So we don't say, oh, okay, we're going to focus on that feeling of what it's like to eat too much and regress on that. No, 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 no. You want to have them feel the feeling they have before they eat. That drive that says, I wonder what's in the refrigerator, when they have already looked in that refrigerator 25 times that afternoon. They know, okay? But they start getting that thought, I wonder what's in the refrigerator. I wonder what's in the cupboards. And with that, what happens is we can find that drive, and that drive is going to be something like a fear, an anger, a guilt, a sadness, a loneliness. Then we can regress on that. And we can find how that started and neutralize it.
Okay.
So, as a matter of fact, let's talk about that regression on emotion. Regression on emotion. I've also seen hypnotists regress on the wrong emotion. I once watched this hypnotist who's very well known in the profession, and what he would do is get someone in somnambulism and then have them, you know, in the grown-up state, in the here-and-now state, say, what's the name of that feeling that's causing you to do this? Okay? And the problem is, even when you're in hypnosis, you're still talking to the conscious mind. The conscious mind never goes away. And if you just ask the client, okay, what is the feeling that has to do with this? Well, that's really not a whole lot different than just asking them at the desk. They may have some more inclination because they're in hypnosis. I watched one go, give me the first letter of the feeling, give me the second letter of the feeling, give me the third letter, and have them spell it out. I don't know why that hypnotist thinks that that's going to be more accurate than if they just said fear or guilt. And here's another thing. I am an author and an expert on emotions. And I know one thing for sure. People are really, really lousy at identifying emotions and talking about them. They misname them all the time. So that's not how you do it. This is how you do it. If you're doing affect bridge, and I'm going to use affect bridge, for example, because I think that's the kind of aggression that most hypnotists have been around know about. And so we've got them in the somnambulistic state, and we give them the suggestion that the feeling is going to come up strong and powerful as we count from 1 to 5. And then 1, that feeling is coming up. 2, stronger and stronger. Yes, let it fill you like a fountain. 4, coming up more and more. Feel it. Feel it. Let it come up. We just need it for a minute. 3 becomes 4. There is strong and powerful. Yes, now I can tell you connected to it because your face is turning red or you're breathing more quickly or whatever. And 5, there it is, strong and powerful. Now, notice I have not asked them to name the feeling, but I have verified that I have the feeling. Because it's right there, I can see it. The person is breathing heavier, or the face is red, or the tears are running down their face. And then here's the secret. You say, I'm going to count from 5 back to 1, okay, if you're doing affect bridge. When I get to 1, you're going to be in an earlier time or situation, when you felt that way. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there. First impression, is it daytime or nighttime? Are you indoors or outdoors? Or are you a loner with someone? Now, those are just building the background. It's not what the answer to that's not too doggone important. But then we say, what's happening? Okay, and we're going to find out what are they thinking, and we're going to find out what are they feeling, and how old are they? Now, what happens is, you see, you need to do this kind of emotional work. You need to be fully trained and fully informed on emotions. You need to know instantly, like in your genes, okay, what causes anger? What is the cause of sadness? What is the cause of loneliness? What is the cause of fear, anger, guilt, sadness, whatever it is, right? Because when we find out what's happening and then what they think about it, we know what they're feeling already. If you are an expert in emotions, which you should be to do age regression work, okay? If the person says, I am in this situation and there's some mean people outside, what are you thinking? Five, let's say I'm talking a five-year-old regressed state, and I'm thinking that they're going to come in and they might hurt us. And if I say, how does that make you feel? And the child says, sad. Okay, that doesn't make sense. You see, because sadness comes from loss. The predominating thing that's going on in the event that they just explained to you is that something bad was going to happen. Someone's going to get hurt or killed. And so that means that they're actually feeling fear, whether or not they're aware of it or whether or not they're willing to state it. So this is one of the most important things, is that you begin to understand this secret language of feelings. And I want to strongly, strongly encourage you to go to thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com so that you can learn. I've got some free audios on there, and there's a book you can get also. Now, I'm going to give you a shortened version of that website, tslof.com. Okay? Tango, Sierra, Lima, Oscar, Foxtrot.com. TSLOF. Go there. Get some more education. You cannot be a masterful age regression hypnotist if you have not really mastered the language, the secret language of feelings. Okay, good. Here's another thing that happens, is when you don't really understand feelings, and that you can get off track. And the subconscious mind is doing its best to avoid pain. Emotional pain, physical pain, embarrassment, whatever it is. So if it is not willing to deal with the fear, like we mentioned in this example, it might give you another emotion like sadness. So why? Because it doesn't want to deal with the fear. So now you start regressing on sadness. And the problem with that is sadness is not the emotion that's driving the problem, you see? So it can get you off track. Here's another thing. You know, that would that make any sense? I've seen this. I'm just like, what are you thinking, I think, as I watch these videos. The person comes in for fear of flying, and then they regress on sadness or loneliness. No, the proper emotion that you have to get to is fear, because they're in for fear of flying. So keep this stuff in mind. And by the way, here's another thing. Don't think that NLP timeline technique is the same or as good as true age regression. The problem with those kinds of techniques is you're mainly only accessing the knowledge that's stored or that has access, that the conscious mind has access to. And so you most people don't remember before the age of 5 or 4, or some people even 10. They just don't remember much about that. But in age regression, a true age regression in somnambulism, you can go as far back as you need to. It could be 3 years old, 2 years old, 1 year old, and I've had clients that report that they've gone back even farther than that. Okay. In my example, I talked about the affect bridge. The affect bridge great technique, but it has the problem of sometimes, I say it like this, you can fall off a bridge, but you can't fall off a tunnel, right? And when I was doing age regression using exclusively affect bridge, where we just follow that feeling back by counting back 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there, then going to an earlier time, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there, and so on, is I tended to go to way too many SSEs, and we tended to get too many emotions in there. So I developed the time tunnel technique. And again, you can just Google that time tunnel technique. And actually, it's called the time tunneling technique. And what happens with this is it's different in that we have the client become aware where the feeling is in the body. And we do a number of different steps to connect that emotion physically and mentally together. And then we transform that into a tunnel. Now again, this is why you need somnambulism. They have to hallucinate that tunnel to some degree. Go follow it back to an earlier time. And with time tunnel, we tend to have much less interference by other emotions, irrelevant emotions. We tend to visit less SSEs on the way back, usually only 2, 3, or 4, where with affect bridge, I might have to go to 5, 6, 7, 8 or more subsequent sensitizing events as I'm going back looking for the ISE. Okay, here's another thing. I'm seeing hypnotists not really identifying the true ISE. There's 7 things that you can do to identify an ISE. You need to know what they are going into it. You can't just be thinking about it then. Like, oh, how am I going to figure this out? You need to have your criteria. This is what a masterful person does. I forget the author, great book. I think it's from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he said, you know, begin with the end in mind. Don't start a technique unless you know the technique, you know, front and back. You really need to know what you're doing to truly identify the ISC. There's more to it than the regressed aspect of the person telling you it's the first time they felt that way. There's so many more things you can do to confirm that. And when you really understand how to identify and confirm an ISC, you'll find out that you're going to be going back 1 or 2 events earlier as you identify that true ISC. Here's another thing that I see, and that is people simply not knowing what to do in the age regression, in the ISEs and in the SSEs. I see people doing, you know, they get there and they spend too much time in an ISC, or they spend too much time in an SSE. They just don't know what information. They're just kind of getting the gist of the story. But there's 5 things you must know, and very little more. And that is, what's happening? What is it making you think? What is it making you feel? How old are you? And is that feeling familiar or new? That is the pertinent information. Everything else, unless you're doing it as a form of just deepening, okay, is kind of a waste of time. Get those 5 bits of information and then power on back to that ISC, confirm the ISC, and you'll be well onto doing the kind of work that only the best of the best, the 1% in our profession, can do. Okay. When you get that ISC and you've confirmed it, what are you going to do now? You do the informed child technique. If you're an age regression hypnotist, in your mind, what does that mean? What is the goal? Think for a second. What is the goal of the informed child technique? Just think that for a moment. What are you really trying to do? Put it in your own words. What is the purpose of doing the informed child technique? All right. Now, you might find that you're thinking all these different things. And the truth is, it's... you're going back there to remove any kind of perception, okay, that caused the problem, okay, you're going back there so that you can give that child the information that he or she needs so that that individual can go through the ISC without being negatively affected by it. That's what we do in the informed child technique. We give them the information. We go before the event. We give them the information they need so that we can then take them through the event once again without being negatively affected by it, but not thinking those misperceptions, not feeling those erroneous emotions, not picking up those false beliefs. And then if we're really, really good, we're going to go do more than that. We're actually going to be able to transform them into a state of gratitude for being able to have gone through that event. Okay. Here's another thing. I see hypnotists not transferring the change in the child to the adult. They just change the child. And if you don't, in some systematic way, take that change that you help that client make in their ISE, okay, and transfer it from the child aspect of your client to the grown-up aspect of your client, many clients will not be able to do that themselves. And sometimes you'll even get clients who are upset. They'll say, I didn't come in here to deal with that old stuff. Well, you know what? It's the fact that they haven't dealt with the old stuff, that they're still dealing with the old stuff in the form of whatever symptom or problem they're having. So you need to know how to transform the child and then shift that transformation from the child to the adult. Okay. I see another thing that, it's bad that I see hypnotists do. When you take someone through the ISE, you can't change history. You cannot change history. Your brain knows how it happened. And if you try to make up a new false history, it's not going to last, or it's going to be in conflict with what the mind already knows really happened. The purpose of age regression is not to rewrite them a new history. In fact, in some areas of psychology, they believe that that kind of stuff, that kind of fantasy, can lead to mental health problems. Because when there's a true history, and then you try to write a new history, then they try to coexist in the same mind, disassociated from each other. That's not a healthy state. Okay? This is what we do in age regression. We don't rewrite their history. We change how they think about it and how they feel about it through the use of the informed child technique. So I've seen too many hypnotists let their clients change, or they, as a hypnotist themselves, purposefully change the history of the client. Not good. It's much better if you change how they think about it and feel about it, so there's just one history existing in the mind of the client that they already believe is true. We just change how they think about what happened and how they feel about it. Okay. Here's another thing. You know, after the ISC, we're going to go through two or three of the SSCs. So let's say in the regression, we went back and we visited a time when they were 15 years old, 10 years old, 5 years old, and the ISC was when they were 2 years old. We take them through the ISC, we make that transformational work, and then what we're going to do is we're going to visit those other times, 5, 7, 12, 15, whatever it was, and two magical things happen. One is it helps, it's part of the transferring the change that happened to the child to the adult. And the other thing that happens is it gets to test how well the client is accepting the change. Because if we make the change in 2, but 7 is having trouble accepting those changes and experiencing that shift in thinking and feeling, then you need to do some more work. And if you don't go to those subsequent sensitizing events like that, then you will not know that your work is not complete. Now, when you go through it and it is accepted, it powerfully reinforces the work you've done. The other thing is, not enough age regression hypnotists are doing age progression work. Make these changes in their past and then have your client hallucinate going into the probable future to events where they can pre-vivify, to pre-experience those events, okay, as a success. Because there's been tons of research that shows that the subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between a real event and a vividly imagined event. Well, let me tell you something. If they're in somnambulism, that's even better than a vividly imagined event. That is a pre-living, living that event as if it was actually happening. Okay. Now, here's another one. Don't see this ever, but it's so powerful. Okay, I see hypnotists not transferring, literally transferring the change in the hypnotized client to the unhypnotized client. So here's the deal. We make the change in the child. We have the child show that change has been accepted in the ISC, the SSEs, and then we take them into the future. I mean, this is masterful age regression and age progression work. Then what we're going to do is my client in hypnosis, I'll have them verbalize the change that's happened to them when how they think and how they feel. Then after I emerge them, I'll have them do it again. I'll say something like this: put an ending on this. I've changed because now I know. And when they put an ending on that, they are now taking the change that happened in the hypnosis and accepting ownership of it post-hypnotically, after the hypnosis. And I take that even farther by saying, okay, put an ending on this. I've changed because now I feel. Okay. And then when they say that in the non-hypnotized state, they are once again taking ownership in that shift in how they're feeling. For example, if we were working on a client with a fear of public speaking, and we uncovered the cause of the problem, and we found out that the person thought that they were inadequate in some way, which caused them to be fearful, right? And we then, as we do this work, we're going to find out that they've changed because now they know that they're as good as anybody else in school, or they're just as good as anyone else in their family, and so now they feel confident. So then, once they're emerged, I say, put an ending on this. I've changed because now I know. And then the adult, in the place that they are now, will say some version of that and say, I've changed because now I am good. I'm capable. I'm everything I need to be to do what I need to do in my life. And I'll say, put an ending on this. I've changed because now I feel. And they will say things, I've changed because now I feel stronger and confident. And they'll go on to say things like, I think I can do whatever I need to do now. And that is with regard to whatever they came in for. So it's really, really important to transfer the change in the hypnotized client to the unhypnotized client. Okay. Here's another thing that you don't want to do, and that is limiting age regression to one session. You know what? Age regression done in a masterful way is something that can't always be done in a half hour or 25 minutes or 45 minutes for that matter. Sometimes a whole age regression cannot be done in one setting. And so you need to know how to divide an age regression up into two or three sessions if need be, in such a way that in each partial age regression experience they have, they leave feeling good, feeling successful, like they've done something very important. If you don't do that, then what happens, they may have only experienced the pain part of the emotion in the regression, and they won't come back. So it's really important that you know what you're doing when you do age regression. Okay. Also, I see people out there saying, oh, yeah, I fix everything in one session. I just bring up the feeling, follow it back, and neutralize it, and they're fixed. Well, if you only see this client once, and then you let them go out the door, how do you know if they're fixed? I remember I went to the doctor for something. It was one of those allergy doctors, because I was having some breathing issues, right? And he gave me this thing. He says, you know, in your situation, this works every time. Your problem is over. And I went home, used that for the period of time that I was told to use it. It did not change anything. Did I go back to see that person, that doctor? No, he's an idiot. But you know what he thinks? He thinks Cal Banyan didn't come back. What I do works every time. So you always need to do sessions till the end of the problem, until you've confirmed the problem. So don't be a one session wonder. Yeah, one session wonder. It means you do one session and then you wonder. Okay. Let's see here. Not doing age regression with every session. I talked about that. Not doing regression with every issue. Not knowing how to end an AR session when time runs out. Not getting sufficient training. As you can tell, I've been going on here for almost an hour. And this is one of the most information-packed hours that I think I've ever produced. And it should impress upon you one thing. First of all, well, a couple of things. One thing is, you got to be able to do age regression. You're never going to be the best hypnosis professional you can be and provide your clients with the best possible results you can without mastering age regression. And you cannot master age regression without the best training and without doing age regression for every issue. So what I'd like you to do, wherever you are, you know, write down Cal Banyan, CalBanyan.com. Go there. Look at some of the training opportunities we have. We have live training at our center. You can come here to beautiful Southern California and participate in probably the most dynamic, most effective, most powerful age regression training, because it is a very big part of our certification courses. Or you could take the live training online from the privacy and the comfort of your own office or your own home. Save the money of travel, save the expense of food, lodging, travel, all of that, and which is often the most expensive part of coming to take our course anyway. And so if you've got high-speed internet, that kind of ability, then we'll have our technicians work with you and get you live online in the course. I want you to know you're going to be live online. It's the best seat in the classroom, and you get to have that seat in your own house. Then the other thing is, you can't wait for a class. Get our 5-Path 2.0 video distance learning course. And that, what that is you may have heard of our Week of Power. It is our hypnosis certification course for people who have already been certified. It's not appropriate if you're a beginner and you've never done hypnosis before, but if you're already certified, this is for you. One time, I did the Week of Power, which is normally a 7-day course, in 6 days. And what we did, we recorded the whole thing, and then we edited out anything that wasn't the most important stuff. And so what we have is a DVD course that's just the most important stuff. And so in addition to classroom lecture, you also get to watch me introduce clients that I'm going to work with, and then you also get to watch me work with those clients. And then afterwards, ask questions in class. Now, another thing is, if you have the proper training, you're already certified, and that typically requires a minimum of 40 hours training in hypnosis to even take this 5-Path DVD course. Okay. There's no prerequisite for the live training, the 10-day live training at our center. But if you want to take the 5-Path 2.0 distance learning course, you need to have 40 hours of paid training, not some free course given somewhere online or even like a weekend course. It needs to be substantial. You need to be, you know, have some training and experience. then you take this 5-Path 2.0, and I can show you time after time after time where we've taken a new hypnotist or a struggling hypnotist or a frustrated hypnotist and helped him or her completely turn around and give them what they need so that they can be the confident and competent hypnotist they've always wanted to be. Oh, man. So there we are. Just went over an hour. I'm so excited. I've been wanting to do this recording for a long, long time. It's brand new. It's never been released before. And I'm excited to have it available for you now. Listen to this audio over and over again. I'm absolutely convinced that you could listen to this thing and take notes 5 times. And each time go, I didn't hear that before, or now I get that. I didn't get it before. So get it, listen to it over and over and over again, and I hope one day I'll see you in class. All right, that's it. Cal Banyan, signing out.